If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Time for Dean Richards Entertainment News, sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. We're talking about Dick Butkus, and he certainly made a smooth, easy transition to the world of entertainment, didn't he, Dean?
Yeah, more than most entertainers that go from the field, whatever sport, to often to the press box, you know, covering the sport. But Dick Butkus went into acting. He did lots of commercials. I've got this old Miller Lite commercial. Remember, he used to do these great Miller Lite commercials with Bubba Smith,
right?
Back in the 70s and 80s. This is just one of them.
I tell you, playing polo is a lot tougher than it looks.
Sure is.
And even though the horses do the running, you still can work up the thirst.
So after a chucker or two, we have Questerons drink light beer from Miller.
Yeah, light tastes great, and it's got a third less calories than a regular beer.
And it's less filling.
And that's important, because tomorrow we're going to try our hand at water polo.
Yeah, I sure hope those horses can swim.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, did he go to acting school? He must have picked up some lessons, but I can't imagine him sitting in a classroom.
I cannot imagine him, having a director going, Dick, we'd like you to put a little more emphasis on the word. You know, I could just see him, you know, giving a stare at some fancy schmancy Hollywood director trying to help him through this. I think he was just, you know,
a natural. Yeah, he did sitcoms. He did lots of sitcoms.
Ironically, he appeared on tons of sitcoms and in motion pictures. But one of the sitcoms on which he made several appearances was The Bernie Mac Show, which is significant because Bernie, of course, is also from Chicago. Bernie also went to Chicago Vocational High School, where Dick Butkus went, and where I went also. And I don't know if it was the case during, you know, Bernie Mac was a few years after me. Dick Butkus was 10 or 12 years before me. But when I went to school there, the name Dick Butkus was brought up over and over and over again as the symbol of if you work hard, if you love something and you work hard, you can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
He was held up as an example to us, you know, in this. You know, this was the southeast side, right by the steel mill, very blue-collar, working-class area. So he was a bit of a hero to all of us who grew up in that neighborhood. I was on YouTube this morning. If you want to, you know, just go back and have some great Dick Butkus memories, there are tons of movie roles, and all those Miller Lite commercials are all on YouTube. And many WGN radio commercials,
right,
on which he appeared with Bob Collins and The Fridge,
mm-hmm.
And so many more.
And, of course, the statue of good old number 51 in Champaign at the University of Illinois.
Yeah.
So people are still watching Suits on the stream, aren't they?
Big time. It just recently broke the record as the most watched streaming program, 12 weeks in a row now. It's been in the number one spot, surpassing Ozark as the most number one overall watched show on the stream. This is becoming a new way now of, you know, measuring ratings, I guess you might say. But people are loving the Suits. After that, it's Virgin River, One Piece is after that on Netflix. Disney Plus's The Little Mermaid, and then SWAT, Bluey, Grey's Anatomy, NCIS, Cocomelon. Not familiar with the Cocomelon.
No, I'm not familiar with a lot of these titles.
It sounds delicious. Cocomelon sounds like it would be a delicious breakfast cereal. And The Big Bang Theory are the top 10 streaming things right now.
Dean, this story about Ed Sheeran has to be the strangest of the week.
Yep.
What's this all about?
Yep, I think so. Yeah, we're, everybody works out in the yard once in a while, especially this time of year, you know, getting things ready for the cold weather. What Ed Sheeran did in his backyard was dig out his own grave.
Was he feeling okay?
Apparently. I guess he's okay, but he said he had some time on his hands. So he went out in his backyard and dug a grave. He says, it's a hole that I dug into the ground. It's got a bit of stone over it. So whenever the days come and I pass away, I will go in there. Said it's not a crypt. It's not a mausoleum or anything like that. It's a hole in the ground, literally a hole in the ground. And he has told his family that he wants to be buried there. And it's right on his grounds. It's right outside of his house. So the family can come and visit whenever they want to.
Now, how convenient. Yeah. Let's get to what to
Makes
watch.
It nice to have a barbecue in his backyard.
and what to do this weekend.
Yeah, let's start off with the new movie this weekend, because a lot of people are talking about the sequel to The Exorcist, which I contend still the original Exorcist from 1973. I can't believe it's 50 years ago. Is still one of the most disturbing, scary movies of all time. And there have been sequels through the years. Most of them have been pretty terrible. But now comes a new one that's called Exorcist the Believer from director David Gordon Green. That's significant because he is the director who revived the Halloween franchise and brought it back to at least some box office success. I don't know if in a critical success, but he's clearly going to revive this Exorcist franchise. He leans very heavily into the original movie with this film, so much so that he has brought back now 90-year-old Ellen Burstyn, who was the mom in the original movie, back into this film as an expert on exorcisms. There's a young couple whose daughter gets possessed by the devil. Leslie Odom Jr. is a single parent whose daughter gets possessed by the devil. So you get two possessions, really, for the price of one in this movie. But there are lots of little references to the original movie, lots of little surprises in this movie that go back to the original film as well. So in many ways, it's very nostalgic. But really, that's kind of where it ends. You know, the plot line, the story are, you know, the jump scares and the levitations and the pea soup-like spewings. All that stuff is, you know, a little bit predictable. So I wound up giving it a Dean's List C+. I will say it's still a little bit creepy, and the idea of satanic possession, I think, just taps into something with many of us that just like kind of touches our souls in a very profound sort of way. So you got that's out there for this weekend.
Sounds like this one is more creepy than scary. The first one was just scary.
Yeah. This one is creepy that way. And it's rated R, by the way, also for language. And there are some pretty gross things that happen in it as well. Music this weekend, I think, is going to be a big subject for everybody. We've got Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Bob Dylan right down the street at the Cadillac Palace Theater playing through Sunday. We've got Bonnie Raitt Sunday at the Chicago Theater. We've got Martha Reeves and the Vandellas out at the Des Plaines Theater with the lead singers from The Temptations, The Platters, The Drifters, and The Four Tops. We've got Stray Cats veteran swing star Brian Setzer at the Genesee in Waukegan. Wu-Tang Clan is at the United Center on Sunday. Also at the United Center Saturday, comedian Dave Chappelle taking over. John Mulaney and SNL veteran Pete Davidson are at the Rialto Square Theater in Joliet on Sunday. That's one night after that's a week before Pete Davidson hosts SNL. Blind Boys of Alabama are at the Old Town School of Folk Music. So tons of music for you to check out. The Highwood Pumpkin Festival is going on this weekend. Brookfield Zoo's Boo at the Zoo is going on Family Fall Fest in Elmhurst. Naperville's Oktoberfest continues at the Field Museum. They're having the Chicago Beer Festival. Interesting place for that. And all of that kind of intertwined with all the street closures that have already started for the running of the Chicago Marathon, my favorite Sunday of the year, on Sunday.
And can you tell me in a few seconds why Maren Morris is leaving the world of country music?
She has called the country music scene toxic.
Hmm.
She's had some bad experiences, and she has said in a podcast, I can't do this circus anymore. I feel like I have to absorb and explain people's bad behaviors. I couldn't do it. After 2020 in particular, I have changed. And she says that she no longer wants to be part of the country music culture, as she calls it.
I don't get that. Maybe she's had some bad experiences with some audiences or something?
I think it sounds like it's been bad experiences within the industry. From what I read from this, she's not saying exactly, but she doesn't say it's from audiences so much. It is from the people who are around her.
Execs, maybe. All right, just as long as everything's okay with Kelsey Ballerini.
I know, that's your favorite.
Keep me posted on that.
That is your favorite. Thank you. We have a 24-hour watch on her just to make sure that everything's okay.
Thank you, Dean. Have a good weekend.
See you, too. Bye.